It's S-W-O-P-E-S. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Elise Swopes, and welcome to my podcast. I don't know where that came from. I'm so happy you're here. Welcome back. It's been a minute. It's been a little bit minute since I've shared a podcast, but that's okay because we're here. We're listening. We're back. I've been busy. I have been so busy. I have been doing so much. Oh my goodness gracious. I was just going through the last month to kind of review with you on what I even did. And looking back, I was like, oh, wow. Your girl's been doing some stuff. So let me talk real quick about what's going on in my life. And then we'll just talk really quickly about NFTs and just some common questions that people have. But I was in LA for a Rolling Stone event in partnership with Coinbase, and I had my art in their logo, and they minted that as an NFT with 12 other artists, and that was an unbelievable party. It's so crazy because at the same time, the Super Bowl was going on, so LA was on 10, and I would never, ever, 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 ever go to a Super Bowl. But, or maybe I will, I don't know, let's never, like Justin Bieber says, never say never, okay? But low-key, it was just absolute chaos, and so I didn't realize that it was the same weekend, but the party otherwise was so fun, there were so many people there. I tried to adhere to the COVID rules that I make for myself because I'm still not as comfortable as, so it seems, as everybody else. But it was great. I didn't get sick and I still had a wonderful time, and I got to meet a lot of people who I've known online for a little bit and just meet all the wonderful artists. And so cool. Such a wonderful opportunity. So if you ever want to check out some more info, I've got some more info on my Instagram. If you can see the NFT there, and also on my Twitter somewhere. But also went to Miami for Afrotech, and that was a lot of fun. Afrotech is unbelievable. Afrotech is such a cool initiative to get more celebrations for Black people in tech, and I absolutely love that, and I felt so honored to be a part of something so cool. So they invited me to show my NFTs at their reception at their convention, and the convention was amazing. They had some wonderful speakers, like Lady Phoenix and Dowda Leonard, that's his name. And then, yo, just so many other wonderful people who are making, I mean, these are like future billionaires in NFTs. So it was such a cool experience. And I think that I will be doing more with Afrotech this year, which I'm excited about. So keep an eye out for that. I also spoke at LeBron James's agency for their people who work there, and we just talked about NFTs. They got to ask me questions. I got to educate them and help them understand what's going on in this space, and that was very surreal, very cool. I mean, LeBron was not there, but still very dope. And then what else we got going on? I just started Sunrise Sundays for my NFT project on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, you can come listen to me every Sunday at 1 p.m. EST. And I just talk about whatever's going on in the NFT space. And you can come up, talk, hang out with me, and chit-chat. It's fun. It's a good time. I also did a collaboration with an initiative called Black Women on Board, and I made their NFT, and the NFT ended up being on the NASDAQ screen in Times Square. So that was unbelievable. The NFT sold for, I'm not sure actually, probably a couple thousand or over 5,000, I believe, which is great because it goes back to the initiative, and it's just such a wonderful project. So super proud to have had my art, my iPhone art, which is unbelievable, to show in Times Square on a screen. Mama, we made it. What else we got here? Did some stuff at Coinbase, other than the things at Rolling Stone. I was in a commercial for them saying something for Satoshi Nakamoto. I'm probably not saying that right, but he is the inventor of Bitcoin, I'm sure. And I say he lightly because they don't know if it's a group. They don't know if it's a woman. They don't know who it is. So they've never been known who they are. Interesting. What else are we doing? Yeah, I mean, I've got a Nifty Gateway drop coming up in a couple days, which I'm super excited about. March 8th, we've got the Nothing is Impossible collection. And you guys know my story. Nothing is impossible. And I know that. And it's inspired by one of the most prolific surrealists of our time, who is just really someone that I really look up to just because he's got such a great mentality about art and consciousness. René Magritte. I'm probably not saying his name right, but René Magritte. He's Belgian. So I don't know if it's as French as I'm making it, but... but a wonderful artist nonetheless. And he really just wanted to establish the link between consciousness and the external world, which I just, with that. And then also, I think it's just so cool that he was also a graphic designer, and then he eventually became he worked in advertising for different brands. And then after that, he became acknowledged as an artist. And hey, that's my life. That's mine. That's my path too. So I hope that one day I can be considered a prolific, significant surrealist of our time as well. Real quick. Oh, by the way, Sunrise Art Club, we are hiring. And if you are a developer, specifically women of color, if you're a developer or an NFT artist or want to become an NFT artist, we want to mentor you. We want to pay you. So go to sunrise.art, go up the top and click the projects, and then you will see the applications there. So apply and see what it's about. It's a great opportunity to learn and get paid to learn and to create a wonderful, amazing collection that could change the course of NFT history. Let's get into our podcast. Okay. So I had a question from a friend. Let's go back to this question here. So the question is, and it's from John McGee. That's his name on Twitter. I don't know if that's his real name, but it does say Eugene B. Whitaker on his username. So I'm curious. I mean, I guess this may show my age, or maybe it shows my education, but like maybe those are names of people or something, but maybe one of them is his name. I'm not sure. Anyway, to wrap it all up, they asked, there's a lot of false information out there about NFTs that lay people believe without question. Okay, hold on. Let me say this again. There's a lot of false information out there about NFTs that a lot of people believe without question. That's what I'm going to assume he meant. How would you disprove them? Well, how would I disprove them? Now, first I would, I love this question because it's interesting. First, I would have to start at why people believe misinformation. Okay. And for me, it's not, I just love getting down to like the root of something. Like why? Why is that happening? Where does it come from? How did it happen? And it's less about who is doing it, but like how can we not be susceptible to those types of things continuing? Because the only person we have control over is ourselves. Not the media, not people who are writing, not people who are tweeting. It's us. One thing we have to consider is that misinformation does always begin at a source of authority or a source of trust for people from someone or somewhere. And there's considerably somewhat of a consensus around it. There's some kind of agreement. There's something that they're seeing that people are kind of being like, yeah, we're in it. Yeah, I agree. Interesting, huh? There's something that they're catching on to. And I think that for me, and I've talked about a little bit about this with NFTs, and I'm going to bring up this word literacy quite a bit, because literacy to me is like an understanding. It's the knowledge, it's the skill, it's the experience. And so there is, to me, when it comes to information, a lack of digital literacy. And most people with lack of digital literacy are a little bit older, in their 60s, most likely. But there's also a lack of digital literacy within a whole other bracket of people. And that really depends on their personality traits. Are they agreeable? What are they going through? What's their mental state like? Or, I mean, it could be a plethora of things, because it's difficult to generalize when we don't know what people are going through. Okay. So there's a certain demographic, really, that are affected. And it's really just how they engage with it at the end of the day that's causing this misinformation, right? So you also have to understand, like, confirmation bias. I tweet about confirmation bias quite a bit because it's stressful to me because I think it's the plague of it all. It's the lack of awareness that people have, unfortunately, with it existing. I think it should be taught to children. I think we should be taught to understand what that looks like, what that feels like, what confirmation bias does to others and how it causes so many issues and relationships. I mean, it could even be the cause of so many different wars. I mean, look at Ukraine, look at what Russia is, or Putin, I would say specifically, but like it's interesting just because like if we had this understanding of humble openness to not have the ability to confirm what we're already thinking, then how would the world be? I mean, oh my goodness, it's just such an interesting concept to me. But it's interesting also because, and it's factual, that people are more likely to share disinformation that are really based on pre-existing like attitudes that are consistent with it. Happens a lot. I mean, people share so many things because they thought that it's likely to be true, or it just coincides with what they're already thinking. Like, come on, it's a fact. It's happening. There's no other option. Why would you share something that would make you look like a dummy? Tell me that. And at least not many people have the strength to do that. I don't mind doing that, but I'm a little different. And then also you got to consider organic reach. If you've never heard of organic reach, it's really just like family and friends and people sharing things with one another. But I think Facebook is definitely an issue. I wouldn't necessarily say they're to blame. And this is probably a difficult thing to say, but like I suppose they are to blame because they're not helping. But they aren't to blame for the way that humans act. Humans they're spontaneous. They're rapid. There's no deliberation with what they do, what they share, what they think. And that's why I'm actually quite a fan of Twitter, because now they have this option where when you tweet about a news article or something, it says, well, hey, have you read this yet? Have you actually read it? Have you sat down and read what it says? Because sometimes a headline can be misleading. It can cause you to react and be spontaneous and share something that you don't even know is true. So anyway, I say all of that to say that at the end of the day, I try to disprove people mostly by them understanding what misinformation looks like. And then on the other hand, not being a part of the confirmation bias when it comes to NFTs or crypto, I see the crypto bros. I don't like them. I don't care for them whatsoever. I call them out. They don't like me. They block me. Okay. But I also see the issues when it comes to the environment. But what we have to understand is that with this type of new technology and with this type of new space, there's a convergence of financial literacy and tech literacy, okay? And I'm bringing up this word literacy again, because before we talked about digital literacy, right? And tech literacy is really the understanding the behind the scenes. I mean, many people have been logging into Facebook, into Instagram for years, but have not necessarily needed to understand the back end. Well, when it comes to NFTs, you kind of have to understand the back end. What's the coding? How does it work? How do I engage with this coding a little bit further? Because now I allow myself to have ownership over this data. So that in itself, unfortunately, causes people to misunderstand where the difficulty with environmentalism comes in. So yes, there are many coins that cause environmental strain, but those are not the coins that many people use. Now, Bitcoin specifically, I do believe there are certain parameters that they're putting in place, certain changes, certain effects that they're doing to make sure that it's better. Now, when it comes to ETH, I also know they're doing the same. And then there's also different blockchains or different coins specifically like Tezos or Flow or things like that where they're committed to having a environmentally friendly chain. I say all that to say just to help people understand that like there are different avenues to go about this. There's different ways to understand where you're putting your money, who you're supporting, what you're investing in by simply doing the research and not allowing the issues of misinformation to guide you into the wrong direction. Okay. So be okay with disproving yourself wrong or proving yourself wrong, right? I mean, be okay with looking up something that may not prove exactly what you're trying to express. Consider that you may be agreeable or consider that you may not like NFTs for some reason that you're fearful of, that the world is changing, that maybe you're, there's just so much to consider and especially not to understand about it. It's not so much that I try to disprove people. It's just that I try to understand them. I try to get down to, and I hate to say down because I don't think that there's any kind of level. I'm not being like, oh, hello, you person who don't get it. It's more just like, how can I get to your level? How can we see eye to eye real quick and just talk like about the real issues about life and how the blockchain actually helps? So this is also mostly how I get them on board is when I kind of relate it to their everyday life. So for example, I had a wonderful friend who's a therapist and she tweeted that she was going to mute the word NFTs because she just can't stand it. And I was like, yo, listen, I got some news for you about what it can do for your industry. I mean, I would hate for you to be guided by the things you see on Twitter because that's where people see most of the information, the misinformation, or at least the reality too. I mean, like I said, there's crypto bros, there's a lot of scams, there's a lot of different stuff that happens that I'm not going to be completely ignorant to. But then there's the other side where countries that haven't been able to ID people have been able to ID people and track them. Therapists will finally be able to have a decentralized information database for their clients or their people that they work with. Same with doctors. I mean, think about hospitals. When you get intaked into somewhere, you have to fill out this whole sheet about who you are. Well, imagine if you just had that information somewhere to access all the time. And then, I mean, it's not even just that. It's also the ability for artists, musicians, anybody to create utility, even brands or different festivals or conventions. I mean, we're getting into a place of real ownership where when we're done and finished with something, we can actually find where it came from, how much it was worth, what people did with it, and then we can trade it and give it away. Imagine Netflix. Imagine owning a video. Imagine you can sell it. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity here, plenty of opportunity, a lot of exciting opportunity that I think people can kind of come into a place of understanding that it's less about let's be angry and try to be like, I hate this, and let's like use it to our advantage, right? But the next question was, how do you determine what products to trust? So I typically do so much research. I look up who is making it. I look at their Instagram. I look at their Twitter. I'm looking at their website. I'm looking at everything because I just want to make sure this person has existed for a while. I mean, the thing about me, and this is why I just hope people would continuously understand about Sunrise Art, is like I've been in the game for a while. I'm not going anywhere. You can trust me. I have proven time after time after time that I've been successful and innovative in any space I'm in. The fact that people would rather give to project that there's no proof of that really kind of bugs me because the proof is in the pudding here. Like, look at it. Look at people's stuff. Look at what they're doing. Everybody's talking about this anonymous, like, dox. It's like, oh my God, let's not dox. It's not. But like, why? Why can't you dox? Why? What is going on? So I don't know, all the projects that I have been investing, all the ones that I appreciate, all the ones that I truly trust are because I've seen that person's face and I know their energy and I trust that they're going to do a good job because they would never allow their person, their personality, their brand, their existence to ever be about no BS. So that's why I'm all about doodles. That's why I'm about World of Women. That's why I'm about a ton of different other projects because I just feel like we need to get back to the humanity of it all. Those are the ones that are going to last. They are. You're wrong. There's a ton of other flips too. There's a lot of other stuff you can kind of play with and have fun with. But how I determine what projects to trust is just by checking out the story and doing the research and making sure that there is past and that there will be future. Simply put. Okay, so if you're probably listening to this and you're like, what the hell is even an NFT? I only have about, so this is going to be a fairly short one, but what is an NFT? It's a non-fungible token, y'all. It's a non-fungible token. Now, what does non-fungible mean? Well, non-fungible means that it cannot be replaced. And the non-replacing means that it's got like its own ID, it's got a number, it's got a something that is attached to it. Now, you'd be probably interested to learn that the dollar bill, that any bill, really any kind of money, at least in the United States, I can confirm, has a number on it. Your money is non-fungible. It is an NFT. It has been in circulation for as long as you have known it because nothing replaces the dollar. The dollar is the dollar. $1 is going to be a dollar forever, right? So consider your artwork or whatever you're minting or whatever an NFT can be. Considerably, it can be a video, it can be a 3D design, it can be a song, it could be a painting. I mean, you can even attach a physical piece to it and send it to the person who wins the NFT. I mean, you can do whatever you want. The rules are endless. You make them because you decide now. This is up to you. Finally. But that's a lot of pressure. But an NFT is that. It is a representation of something. And why is it a representation of something? Why does it hold value? Well, why does anything hold value? Why does the dollar hold value? Because somebody said it did, and we decided intentionally to put it into circulation, to let it mean something. Because we have a common camaraderie, an agreement with each other that this is what this is. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. That's all. So why was the NFT created? Well, it was created to just empower artists, man. To just empower artists and to sell digital work. Kevin McCoy and Neil. I really do. They were the first who invented what we know as today as the NFT. And shout out to them. Appreciate that. May 2014. Now, where would you go to like learn more about NFTs? Well, I am currently putting together an entire onboarding system for Sunrise Art Club. So hopefully that'll be done in like a month or so collectively. It'll probably be like one video here, one video there, one video. Otherwise, you need to be on Twitter, man. Dive in. Follow people. See what they're talking about. Be in Twitter spaces. Be on Twitter. And, I mean, my team was like, how do we get people from Instagram? How do we get them more engaged? I just don't think that NFTs are there yet, but it's coming. Something's coming. It's coming. I'm working on something. I'm excited. I don't know. Did I sign an NDA for it? I don't think I did. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to say it just because I don't want to get in trouble. But something cool is coming with another platform, and I may have something to do with it. Okay, so how do you make an NFT, though? How? Why? What? How do you start? Well, there's a ton of different options. You can use a plethora of different platforms specifically. Now, there are platforms like Nifty Gateway or SuperRare, or I believe Known Origin or Maker's Place and Foundation. You all have to have an invite. Foundation is probably a little bit easier than the others, but you do have to have an invite, and you do have to, you can't mint or just sign up. You can sign up to collect, but you cannot sign up to mint or create or put an NFT into the blockchain world, okay? So you probably want to start on like OpenSea or Rarible or any other one, or Zora specifically. I love Zora, first black owned. So those are really wonderful platforms to kind of start and get your footing in. Now, my suggestion would be to start backwards in your essence of considering what you want to do in this space, because you mint something, it creates a utility for yourself as an artist. And for me, my greatest advice on entering the NFT space would be to consider, where do you want to end up? Who do you want to become? What are you trying to accomplish? Like, don't just do this because you want to make money. I'm telling you, don't do it because you want to get rich. Like, you have to know where you're headed, because that's going to sustain you through the difficulties that may come up in this space. I mean, you got to stay healthy, mind your business, because the space moves really, really fast and you can get locked into Twitter. Like, drink some water, take a break, get some rest before your body breaks down for you. Like pace yourself, have some patience about your collectors. Like, don't just like pressure people to buy your stuff. Like, have a good connection, feel like someone wanted it because they want to support you and they know you and they like you, not because you begged them to. Do your research, please. Do the research, ask people questions. I mean, specifically when I mint something, so I'll go into Super Rare, for example, and you're going to have to write a title. You're going to have to write a description, and then you're going to upload your file. And then you can also upload a thumbnail, which is typically like a GIF or something. I always put a thumbnail because I think it's good to have a thumbnail there that moves or something that catches the eye when it's in the marketplace or something. So maybe there'll also be hashtags. Maybe there's some other options about, like, if you want to create editions or one of one, or if it's a part of a collection, or do you want to hold it for somebody, or do you want to price it at a reserve, which means like when someone bids that, then the auction starts. So for whatever time you set it for, okay? Or you can do a buy now, which you set the price, and when someone buys it, they've collected it right away. There is no auction that starts. So I believe those may be the other options, but yeah, I hope this was helpful. I hope it was helpful. I didn't want it to be too long, but I just wanted it to be enough to help and assist and maybe answer some questions for people, because I'm here for y'all. I am. I'm just trying to be real. I really am. I'm just trying to be as real as possible and to really assist and be the voice for the people if I can be, because I have the courage and I have the fearlessness, and I know many people may not, and that's okay. Not all of us need to be that. It's stressful, but that's also why I take my breaks and I have very serious boundaries. Very, very serious boundaries. But anyway, appreciate you as always. Follow me on Twitter at Swopes if you want to catch up with me, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, because that's like my diary. But I will see you in, or on the internet. I'll see you on the internet? I don't know. I'll see you there. Take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. We'll chat soon. Bye-bye.